Top Shelf Fantasy.
All right, folks. Podcast 307, October 16th, 2024. Coming at you, week six recap, thoughts, and everything looking forward. Stay with us on our next podcast. We got two for you tonight. We'll have a big one with our trades that just happened. Other than that, topshelffantasy.com. Again, start sits. I'm not sure how we did this week. If I had a guess, I think we did pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah, I did not tally it up yet. I think we did all right. I know I definitely had some big misses, like my running back force change from Brian Robinson into Joe Mixon.
It's not your fault. It was so
not
hard.
Not my fault. Yeah, there's only so many running backs out there, and I really didn't see it going that way.
We did I think we each had one or two guys even before we picked our last guys, and I think our write-up was like, we don't hate the sit, but like James Cook is probably out.
Yeah.
Rashad White was out. Like, I think you had Brian Robinson, or I had Brian. Yeah. And we both did.
We both had Brian Robinson. But I mean, yeah. We smashed our dart throws. That's like for the first time ever, our dart throws. Sean Tucker, number one running back on the week. We'll get there. But
yeah, we'll get there. And
the spoilers.
It was kind of fun because we were going back and forth, like, oh, I'm winning now. And then here's a 50 yard touchdown run. I'm like, oh, there you go. Yeah.
Crazy.
Not only did you win, he was the. Maybe the highest RB in the season. I got to take a look, but
yeah, it's probably in the conversation at least.
Yeah,
maybe that three touchdown Saquon day, that could be the winner, but he's up there.
Yeah, didn't Kamara have one too? He's gonna get a 40-point game.
Could have, yeah.
Well, whatever.
We'll get there.
Yep. All right, and then X, Instagram, Facebook at Top Shelf FNTSY, and before we get started, listener league.
We're dead in the water.
I think we're 1-5, and I think we're lucky being 1-5, to be honest.
You know, we're just letting the rest of the league compete. We don't want to win the prize. You know, we got to give it away.
Yeah, I mean, our team's pretty much, you can pick up five guys on the free agency on Sunday, and they're probably in our starting lineup. So, but just to recap on the top teams, we got JT in first, followed by Chanman and Aleppa, aka Third Eye, both 5-1. So we had 3 5-1 teams, very close there. Then a 4-2 team, Squeaky Baller, who won last year, Ingersoll and Delord, 3-3 each. That's the top six teams right now. And your beloved hosts here are 1-5 with by far the lowest points and pretty low points scored against too. So,
we just had some bad luck. I mean, like Olave picking up a concussion early in the game and giving you a zero, like that hurts. Davante Adams being out really hurts, like for the last couple of weeks. Yeah, what can you do?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Olave thing sucked. Then of course, I'll start out Pierce on the high, 0 points. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's not good, but I would say better days ahead. But hopefully not for everyone else, and they can actually win some cool swag.
Swag.
All right, let's get to the best part of this. IR people. I'll start with the IR. You can take the outs. Aiden Hutchinson, not fantasy relevant, but it kind of is. If you're a running back playing against the Detroit Lions defense, it weakens that defense quite a bit. I mean, this is arguably the defensive player of the year runner-up as of the first 5.5 weeks for him, but yeah, he's done.
Yeah, I don't know if he's actually on IR, but if you saw his leg, he will be there within a day or two,
6 month recovery, which I thought it would be almost a year just watching that replay.
Yeah, real crazy. Like one of the grosser leg breaks we've seen recently. And I mean, this has been a pass rush that's kind of top of the league. They've been getting to the quarterback very consistently, and a lot of that is because of Aiden Hutchinson. So I think when you look at your matchups this coming week, definitely adjust for that. That's why I included him on this list. It's like, he's a game wrecker. So if you see, oh, my quarterback's playing Detroit and it looks like it's a tough matchup in sleeper, it's a really dark red. Like it may be a little bit easier if your quarterback is under like duress.
Mid orange instead.
Yeah.
But,
right. Right. I mean, yeah. They still got a good D, but who knows?
It kind of sucks that it came against a Cowboys team where He didn't have to be in, but I guess it
Game
was
was
like
over.
third. I mean, it was over in the first half. So, but if I was gonna say, I think if you pull people that early, it's kind of like a slap on the face of the Cowboys. But they did a lot of slap on the face plays that
Yeah,
game with
they were not worried about slapping
throwing
them in
to
the face, but
linemen, the
you
hook
also
and
just
ladder
have
to
like
linemen. Like, it was great.
their mentality is just be tough as nails. You know, it's Dan Campbell mentality. We talk about it all the time. Just a gritty team. Aiden Hutchinson's not coming off. I don't care if they're up by 100. He didn't come off in college either. He's just a high motor, high volume guy, and you know that's just the risk you run. You play a violent physical sport, you're gonna get hurt at some point. You just hope he gets back and he's the same player that he was. Because I mean, you take a guy like Chase Young, who dominant his rookie year. He picked up the ACL injury, and he's just never been the same. He just does not look
Just,
comfortable on a
yeah,
football
he's
field anymore.
just a journeyman name.
Exactly. So you
It's
hope
the
that's
name
not the
is
case.
why
And
he's got the job right now, but
true, truly. But you know, a bone break typically less significant than you know ligament tears, but this one is nasty. So we'll just you know wish him the best, speedy recovery.
Raheed Shaheed is on IR, or he's an IR candidate. I think, pretty sure he will be having surgery tomorrow. So,
Yeah, they said he's definitely out this week and probably going to IR. And I mean, if you're having surgery on your knee in any capacity, it's got to be at least 2, 3, 4 weeks. So why not go to IR and open up the roster spot?
yeah, which is too bad because especially a week where Olave's not playing either. We'll get to that, but so he's been great. I mean, he has got that 0 point game, but I mean, more often than not, where you got the guy, he's been crushing it.
Yeah, and people will still kind of dog him like, oh, he's a deep threat only. He doesn't really do much else. I mean, that's kind of true. And he gets involved in the special teams a bit, but like he's consistently performed. So he's not Gabe Davis where it's up and down every week or, you know, disappear for a little bit, come back for one big one. He's been consistently involved as that deep threat. He's more like a, you know, the Brandon Cooks of, you know, several years ago. So I try not to dog him as much as I dog some other people, and I think, you know, hopefully he gets back quickly and we see him on the field again. I have a note down later in the news. Spencer Rattler didn't look half bad.
No, of course, some bad plays, but it's your first game ever. I mean, you
Yeah,
talk about
definitely some jitters, but
Drake May too
yeah.
down there too. So, you want to get the out guys out of the way,
Yeah,
out
Taysom Hill,
the.
also a Saint, is doubtful for Thursday night football. He's not practicing. He's almost guaranteed to be out. And then Chris Olave has
Lot of
already been
Saints,
ruled out. Yeah, the Saints
and
are in trouble. And
Derek Carr, of course, is still out week to week.
there,
So.
yep, Derek Carr still will not be playing. So Saints are going to be tricky. I don't know. I guess you kind of after last week, you have to play Bub Means. We talk about him at some
You have
point,
to,
but
yeah.
you know, he's we always talk about the backup quarterback coming in and supporting the backup wide receivers, the guys that they throw to in practice. And it happens every single time. It's tried and true. So I guess he'd be the most likely add for this week. I don't know that I'm really rushing to pick anybody up for a Thursday night matchup, but
But
yeah.
an out guy too, not fantasy, but Pat Surtain is out for Thursday, which is massive for Bub Means.
Yeah, I mean,
That's
you take
huge.
a
A guy that's
top
been
tier corner
crushing.
off the field. Definitely doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I
Well,
bet
it
they.
hurts Denver.
Yeah, I'm sure they wish they didn't cut A.T. Perry now. They kind of need
Yeah.
him. But Dennis Allen doesn't like you. You don't play. All right, questionable guys. Not practicing so far this week. ETN's listed as doubtful. And there's a hammy. It sounds like I would assume not playing this week, maybe even the following week, which I mean, it's good because you don't want what happened last week happen again, which you saw with a lot of guys. But I mean, he's been banged up, I think, throughout the entire year so far. So rest him until he's healthy. I mean, the running game there has worked, you know, beat behind him. So his team has one win. So I don't think rushing ETN back is the best idea.
Yeah, they've looked better with Tank Bigsby and even Dearnest Johnson to some extent. So whether that's ETN's hurt or ETN's just falling off a cliff, it's hard to say. But let's imagine that he's hurt. Like you said, get him healthy. If it wouldn't surprise me if with this hamstring they put him on IR. I would not be shocked. Like just give him the 4 weeks. He had the shoulder issue a week ago. Like just let him
It's
get
yeah.
right.
It's the hammy. If anyone has a hammy in the NFL, 4 week IR, I don't care if it's a 3 week thing. open up that slot because these teams definitely need it.
Yeah. Flip side for a guy who's not on this list, who played last week, Christian Watson, out of nowhere, 2 weeks off a high ankle sprain where it looked like he shredded his leg to bits. He
That
was
was a
out
big
there
touchdown.
and contributing last week. So that kind of caught me by surprise in a few leagues. I was like, oh, he's active?
Yeah, and I mean, him getting more work too, probably because Dontayvion Wicks got hurt last week. It's every week. These four guys cannot be on the field at the same time.
Right.
Which is
it's nuts.
good for fantasy because it's hard to, you know, see who's going to have the big game. But got a shoulder injury, hasn't practiced. He's considered week to week. Again, it makes sense with Watson back and Bernie Madob's off of suspension and having two touchdowns last game too. So you got the receivers there, so no point to rush the young star back. And then Jerome Ford not practicing with the hammy. I think he's also considered week to week. I'll lead you right into the first news of trending in the right direction.
Yeah, his cohort in the backfield, Nick Chubb, may finally see the field in week 7. We saw the reports come out. I think it was even on Sunday. They were like, we'll not play week 6, but he's expected to play week 7. So pretty huge if Chubb can hit the field. The question is, what's the point? Like, this team is bad. So I don't know that bringing him back makes them a contender or a winner, and we'll get to some other moves they've made recently. But it's weird to bring him back with how this team looks. He's not going to be the savior unless they think they're going to run it 40 times a game with him, you know, like Nick Chubb of old, and he's just going to bring them to the promised land. Maybe he will. Maybe I'm completely wrong. But Jerome Ford hasn't looked bad, so I think Chubb has value. If he's active, you kind of have to play him, especially if you've held him in an IR slot until this point in the season. But I would temper my expectations. I don't expect a huge workload. I expect the games to be out of hand anyways and them not really be throwing – I mean, not really be running the ball and probably throwing it a lot more. And I don't see Chubb handling too much of that work. I just don't think it's worth his time at this point in the season and in his career.
Yeah, no, that's the Pierre Strong rule. Just games out of hand, get in there.
Yep, exactly. And we talked about that at the beginning of the season when we knew Chubb was going to hit IR. We just said, you know, his return is going to be entirely dependent on what the Browns do this season. And we said if they lose a lot of games and they're not, you know, in contention for a playoff berth, why bring him back? Like, why put him on the field? Why risk, you know, slowing down his recovery? So I guess we'll find out.
You can go on.
Oh, TJ Hockenson is a full participant in practice so far this week. He had been trending up prior to his bye week last week. So I think we all kind of expected this. They opened his return window in week 5. So this is 14 days into his return window. So he's either active this week or next week, or he's not playing this year. I would expect to see him on the field in week 7. It feels like he's trending in that direction. I think he's healthy enough. He's had kind of enough time to recover. You know, it's a reasonable return timetable. So I would expect to see him on the field and hopefully contributing right off the bat. Cause if you've held on to Hockenson in your IR slot, you probably don't have a great other tight end. I mean, maybe you lucked out like I did and you picked up Dallas Goedert super late and, you know, it's worked out for the most part, but I think you're excited to get Hockenson into your starting lineup.
All right. Yeah.
Other good news? Yeah, we'll just keep powering through. Jonathan Brooks has been designated to return finally. We've been waiting for this. I think we all saw this coming, maybe even sooner, expected to see it sooner. I think with Chuba Hubbard being so effective, they've not had to rush him back. But as soon as he's active, he's going to be interesting to watch because that Panther team has been running the ball effectively. So a guy with, I think, I like Chuba. I think he's good running back. But I think the most fair way to say it is that Jonathan Brooks is more talented than Chuba Hubbard. I mean, we need to see it in the NFL to know for certain, but as soon as he's back, I expect to see him at least with a decent share of the touches back there.
He at least takes over Miles Sanders.
Definitely.
So
I'm just laughing because
he's back.
CEH is back, and he's already listed as the RB2 on depth charts behind Kareem Hunt. Carson Steele is now a thing of the past. So if you spend like $91, for example, on him, like, I think you're an idiot.
It was 51. Is that how much?
51? Yeah, I knew it was a ton.
Or 41. So it was still.
It was too much. But either way, CEH comes back. I mean, I think he'll have a role. I don't know if he'll be effective in it, but yeah, I think he'll have a role, and that's what's important in the NFL. So keep your eyes peeled. I think if you are really, really hurting at running back, maybe you are like me and you've got JT on your bench and or because he's hurt, and you didn't happen to get Trey Sermon because somebody outbid you in Fab, and then you had Devin Singletary and somebody outbid you on Tyrone Tracy. If you could go snag like CEH, he could be a sneaky play just to get in the end zone here and there. So I wouldn't hate it if you're backed into a corner. It's not a bad play. In more exciting news for a more exciting player that you've probably held on to for a while, Cooper Kupp is really trending in the right direction. There are rumors saying that he might play this week. If you're a Kupp owner, you're praying for this to happen. Mostly if you're a fan of the LA Rams, you're happy or hoping for this to happen.
Yeah, it's great, especially for Stafford, who, I mean, he's throwing to just no one. Poor guy.
Yeah.
But I'll add before we get into the news, Dallas Goedert with the hamstring that you mentioned before, he is week to week.
Yep. Yeah. And
So
he's likely going to be
that
out.
was another guy that got a big zero when you're starting lineup, but it was just too many guys this week. But
The other one that I did not put on here that guy's still not practicing is Marvin Harrison Jr. still in
oh,
concussion
okay,
protocol.
concussion protocol. There's another zero. Okay.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. When you said the zero, that was like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah,
I should just go through my lineup. I have all these guys.
yeah, I played against you with the, not that it would have mattered, but
Yeah, Jerome Ford, Marvin Harrison. I don't know, probably somebody else.
ETN,
ETN.
who got the negative. So I think combined those guys are like 0.5 or
Yeah,
something.
right. Yeah, I think Jerome Ford had like 1 point something or 2 points something. Yeah, it's bad.
Did you see that lineup that got scored like 1.22 points?
Yeah, the one that Kyle sent. I was like,
Yeah.
that is hilarious.
Where
And
it's
then
like,
he's like,
oh,
the all
is
these guys
that?
that are less than 1% owned scored 127 points. It's like,
Yeah.
love it.
Yeah, at first maybe someone probably like randomly did that. It's not real. And I looked at him like that's like a reasonable lineup with a team that has guys on bye or
Yeah.
injuries. Like that's a legit lineup.
Right.
You got
Insane.
but we move on to some news. Spencer Rattler, like we said before, he actually looked good. Highs and lows, but at least, got the offense moving in the right direction. And I'll say the same about Drake May. I know they got beaten by 20 points to Houston, but I mean,
No, I mean, when he came in, it was
we scored over
21-7
20.
or something like that. Yeah.
We scored 20. Like we scored over
Yeah.
20. So I think he did a good job. Three touchdowns for May.
The unfortunate side is that he's
Yeah, we'll add
already
that to
getting an MRI done on his shoulder, I think.
It's
Elbow,
knee.
shoulder,
His knee.
knee. Oh, it's knee. Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Great. Yeah,
It's
that
even
thing
worse.
you need to step back as a quarterback.
Yeah, step,
Yeah.
move, stand, the whole line.
Run. Yep.
That's tough. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, he looked good. Or I wouldn't even say he looked good. He looked better than what we've seen in a long
He looked
time.
like
So,
a confident quarterback that could
right. He made a few
throw
good throws.
touchdowns. Yeah.
That's that most air yards we've seen in since the Tom Brady era, I believe. And he didn't try to throw the ball across the field at like 4 miles an hour like Mac Jones loved to do and just get pick six all day long. So that was cool. Russ Wilson, another quarterback news, is expected to take snaps with the first team in practice this week. And there are rumors swirling that he might play as the starter on Sunday versus the Jets.
It sounds like he, like 95%, he'll start on Sunday.
Yeah. And I guess this is an indictment of Fields, or maybe this was their plan the whole time. I'm not sure. I don't think Fields has played that badly, but I don't watch a ton of Steelers football to be 100% honest with you. So maybe I'm not
They have
seeing
a
everything.
winning record, so he's doing
Right.
nothing to lose. But like, if they're like, "Hey, it's our defense that's winning it." Let's put in, Russ Wilson, who's just quarterback now, that's just don't turn it over and, run the clock and let's win the game. But we kind of joked about it to start the season, like, oh, they're making an excuse that he's hurt, so he's not, playing because he sucks. But no, I guess this was their plan. Wait till he's fully healthy and toss him in there.
Yeah, I guess if you look at Justin Fields' stats last
His
week, he was
stats are.
14 of 24 for 145,
Yeah,
and
his
then he
fantasy
saved
stats are
himself
fine,
with
but
yeah, he saved himself with the 11 rushes, 59 yards, and two
two
touchdowns.
touchdowns. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
Like when people say, what, like he's like a could be one in fantasy. Like, yeah, but that's fantasy. Like
yeah, he
so is
hasn't completed
A-Rich,
more than
but like
25 passes in a game this season. He's only thrown one pick though, so he's not killing you with backbreaking turnovers.
that's from saying like he's not losing you games. Yes, I don't know.
Yeah, I
So
guess we'll see. And
we
again,
will
who
see.
knows? They could come out and Russ Wilson could look awful, and it's right back to Justin Fields. If you're Justin Fields, you're like, I've been now on two teams that have just absolutely disrespected me. And you're like, what do I have to do? Somebody let me have a comfortable job and just enjoy the starting role with no threat to my position for a minute. But I digress.
Yep. Some trades that we'll just run through quick. Devontae Adams to the Jets. He can play Sunday. Amari Cooper to the Bills. And then Cam Akers to the Vikings. We will get through all of this and more trade targets in our next podcast. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
All right. Week six top shelf performances. We'll start with the quarterback. Caleb Williams, 29.64 points, 226 yards passing, four touchdowns, one interception, four rushes for 56 yards, almost five touchdowns. Got called back, and I think they ran in with Swift after that. But yeah, great game, especially in London against the home field Jacksonville Jaguars. They just demolished them, and it was great to see Keenan Allen kind of get back to it.
Yeah, seeing Keenan Allen involved in the offense, I mean, not only with the touchdowns, but like running nice routes, making like sharp contested catches, it was very, very fun to watch. And if you still have Keenan Allen on your roster, you're feeling pretty positive about your road forward. The running back position, we've got Sean Tucker of all people. I'm checking the stats right now. So he had 32.7 points. Kamara did in week 2 have a 43-point outing, and in week 4, Derrick Henry had 34.4. But Saquon, even with his two big games, never got over 32.7. So Sean Tucker is your third highest scorer on the year right now, which is hilarious. 14 carries for 136 yards, one touchdown, and then he added three catches on three targets for another 56 yards and another score. So, I mean, what it boils down to is the San Francisco offense is set up to run the ball effectively, no matter who's back there. Like Sean Tucker is not the goat of all goats. Jordan Mason, probably not the goat of all goats.
You mean the Bucks?
Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
My apologies. The Bucks, yeah. And Bucky Irving, again, looks fantastic. So I think the indictment becomes on Rashad White. That's where I wanted to go with this conversation in the first place. Rashad White is concerning with his lack of production, given what we've seen with Bucky Irving and now Sean Tucker, who has been a special teamer to this point in his career. So, I've been a Rashad White truther, I think is the most fair way to put it. And to a certain extent, I still am, and I'm sure we'll get there in a little bit when we talk about our buy lows. But it's certainly something to think about. Like, if he's not doing it and Sean Tucker is dominating, what is the Rashad White issue? Is it the foot injury? Like, maybe it is. Maybe it's a Lisfranc, like we saw with Najee Harris. It's going to take him some time to get right. Great. If not, Sean Tucker is the GOAT, and Rashad White sucks.
Yeah, and this is Dow's dart throw of the week, which our dart throws are usually like fun, random guys. But I think the last couple of weeks, you're like, all right, let's pick some guys that probably aren't started, but really could pop. Like you had Juju one week, who
Yeah.
I think hit big. Jonnu Smith hit like 10 points the week before that. So you pick Sean Tucker, and I picked Dameon Pierce, and Tucker scored a touchdown. I'm like, dude, this is insane. Then Pierce scored a big one, and I was winning. And then Tucker had that 50-yard touchdown catch. I'm like, all right, that's it.
Nuts.
And then I was like laughing about it. And I'm like, oh my God, he's RB1 on the week. That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, I
And
was
that's
getting
with
worried when Pierce housed that 50-yarder from like I think it was about 50 yards, and they were like, "Oh, did he get in? Did he not?" I was like, "Doesn't matter if he did it in. That's one of the best runs I've seen out of Dameon
yeah,
Pierce in his career."
I think he was out of bounds, but it
Yeah,
didn't really
doesn't
matter.
matter. He would have punched it in on the next one. The Patriots suck.
Yes, that is correct. Next one, Chris Godwin still putting up points, 30 fantasy points, 11 receptions on 13 targets, 125 yards, two touchdowns. That second touchdown where he just caught the ball in the middle of the field, I think he's housed for like 50 yards. Just patient running. He didn't look explosive, but he's just that kind of smart guy that he just knows where to be in the field, and if he sees a path, he's going to take it. So it's great to see him out there. Mike Evans didn't have a great game, but I mean, we're talking about Sean Tucker too, Bucky Irvin. That game was kind of out of hand. They all had a field
Yeah.
day on the ground. So
I was really
when,
expecting to see Mike Evans catch one. I was like, please, just
yeah,
one.
but it was out of hand. Like, again, when Sean Tucker's getting these touches, it shows that the game was out of hand. So
Definitely.
don't worry about Mike Evans too much.
Chris Godwin, number two wide receiver in fantasy right now, right behind Ja'Marr Chase, 0.7 points in half PPR.
I think he's one in PPR. I would
Yeah, nice.
assume. I think he's because Chase's
Yeah, that tracks.
receptions aren't. Yeah.
And the tight end position rounding it out, Cole Kmet. Five catches on five targets for 70 yards and two scores. Guy had a great game. Makes sense. Caleb Williams on this list. Makes sense. His tight end should be on it as well. Honestly, it was kind of hilarious seeing him catch or catch touchdowns and then go snap the ball at center. I don't know if you were watching any of
Oh
that
yeah, yep.
unfold, but he's there. Apparently, he's their emergency long snapper. And he's, I forget, who's the coach there? Eberflus. He's like, he might be the first player to ever catch two touchdowns and snap two balls in an NFL game. I was like, that would be an interesting stat. That has to be true.
I would assume that's the case.
Yeah.
I mean, you
Right.
got d data back to the 50s. I don't know, but
Yeah, true, true, true.
yeah, just a game where they just tease the Jacksonville defense, so.
Jacksonville just couldn't do it. A few honorable mentions that we can run through real quick. Baker at quarterback. Baker Mayfield was right behind Caleb Williams at 28.9 points. Jordan Love bringing up the third place on the podium, 26.6. Joe Mixon, Scotty told me to start him. I should have listened, 26.2 points. He absolutely dominated in his first game back against the Patriots and looks completely healthy. Derrick Henry, a mainstay on this list, 25.2 points. Garrett Wilson at wide receiver, 20.7, and AJ Brown on his first game back after the hamstring injury with 20.6 points. And then rounding it out with George Kittle at 20.3 at tight end. And Mark Andrews makes his first appearance on the good guy side of the list this year, despite being on the bottom feeding side so many times. But 14.1 points for Andrews. Finally finds the end zone. Finally looked halfway competent after he volleyball tipped that first Lamar pass and caused a turnover, but he figured it out after that.
Yep. All right. Some bottom feeders. Quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, 5.2. Will Levis, used to this now, 8.3. Kyler at 12. Kirk Cousins at 12.5. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, Cousins I had to put on the list. Usually 12.5, you kind of skate by, but he had the huge game last week with the 500 yards. So you got to get called out for being a bum the next week because everybody started. You thinking you'd do it again? Running back position, another zero in my lineup. Zach Moss this week. He would have had some points, but he fumbled it away. Ended up with an even zero. Followed up by Zach Charbonnet, who is just buried behind Ken Walker at this point. I think it might be time to give up on him. He only scores 4 points. James Conner was only capable of netting you 4.6 this week. And Saquon Barkley, again, 6.4 points. Usually you can skate by. Nobody mentions your name. But when you're Saquon, we expect to see a lot more than that out of you. So you ended up on the bottom list, buddy. I'm sorry.
All right, wide receivers. Calvin Ridley, 0.9, and that just came with a rush. Eight targets. Jerry Jeudy, 4 points. DJ Moore with 4 points, which is sucky with the Bears doing so well. And Brian Thomas Jr. with 4.2 points.
Yeah, a couple of guys that had big games and then just let down to the follow-up performance. That sucks. Speaking of tight end position, Tucker Kraft, two huge games, and then this dud he gives you. He only gives you 2.5 points. That's kind of unacceptable considering you probably played him with the scope of the tight end landscape at this point. Pat Freiermuth, 2.6 points, and Jake Ferguson with 2.6 as well. Just a bad week for tight ends, really, all around. And then the honorable mention, we have Marvin Harrison on here since he boned you by getting his brains splattered,
Yeah,
concussed
I mean,
early on, 0 points.
we could add him. We could add ETN,
Olave.
Goddard, Olave. So, not their faults. So,
Yeah.
it's not fair to kind of put him on here.
I would put ETN on here. I think he's faking. It's, you know why, though? Because he was negative, so he doesn't even show up on my list. It starts at zero.
That's right. All right.
That's actually the best way to sneak by is go negative because I won't notice you.
If you're getting do bad, just do very bad that I can't even find you. All right, a couple hold fold guys. Titans wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley. It's coming into week seven now. It's tough to really hold on these guys. I know Ridley had one big game in like week two or three. D Hop, I don't think, has done really anything.
Yeah, I think he had one game as well, like 9 points or something like that. I'm pulling him up. I know I have him in a league, so.
16.3. That was the game. Like, oh, you can't fold him because of that. I mean, he played 71% of snaps, his highest by far in the season, and still only got you 7 points. This is a Will Levis problem. It's not their issue, but as long as they're tied to him, it's, I don't know if you can hold him. I would fold both. I can't just fold one and not the other.
Yeah, it's so hard because like the second you fold them, somebody's gonna pick them up in your league, right? Like I'm looking at this league where I do have DeAndre. So if I drop him, I'm thinking about picking up the likes of Ray-Ray McCloud, Michael Wilson, Quentin Johnston. I could make an argument. I might be able to pick him up. Rashad Bateman, Gabe Davis, Bub Means. Maybe I make that move today if I was trying to win now. Luckily, I'm 5-1, so I'll probably just hang on to him and hope he turns it around. But if you are like a 1-5 team, you go and you drop DeAndre Hopkins and or Calvin Ridley and you pick up Bub Means and somebody else I just named on that list. Like even Rashad Bateman, like he's started to at least score points consistently, and
Seven and ten points a week.
you know what to
Darn.
expect. It's better than the zero. And I know you mentioned Ridley's 8 targets, like that quality of target was deplorable. So some of them I don't even know if you could call really targets. You might have had some generous scoring in
Yeah,
there,
I
but
think we said like three, maybe four were
yeah, like
like
legitimate
maybe
catchable
two
balls.
touched his hands.
Right,
Like
right.
the other one's like, that's not a target. Like, if anything, that's a contested grounding. That's how
Yeah.
bad the bat was aware.
Like I'd probably agree with you. I think you fold both, unless your team's stacked and you can afford to keep a
Sure.
dead guy on your roster just to see what he can do. But if you need performance now, they're both easy folds.
Yeah, like if you're able to pick up like Alexander Madison, you drop one of those guys. Like
Right.
it's one of those, like if you need like the big waiver guy of the week, but you can't because your team's quote unquote too good, but they're on your team, you drop them. Like you can't be stubborn heading into week seven.
100%.
Next one, Dontavian Wicks.
Yeah, I would drop him. I think he's last in the pecking order anyways. And with the injury, it becomes too much to overcome and stay on a roster. Again, I think all of this has to be in the mentality of a win now team. Like, yeah, if you're undefeated, just sit there and do nothing and you'll probably be fine. You can even tolerate a loss or two. So shut up. We don't care about you undefeated people. This is like if you need a win, cut this guy off your roster and take a shot on a different person.
Yep, I agree. He's cut week to week. You can't wait that long. Cut him. Watson goes down. Dubs gets traded, goes down. Go ahead, pick him up again. Jerome Ford.
He is a cut unless you can afford to keep him as a handcuff if you have the roster space. He's probably the best handcuff in the league if something happens to Chubb or they shut him down or whatever it may be. But again, if you're not
Yeah.
worrying about cuffs and or you don't even own Nick Chubb, then just drop him. Like maybe you can try to trade him to the Chubb owner for something back, maybe even just a guy off his bench.
Sure.
But I don't think he's has standalone roster value right now. He's not scoring points. He's first of all, he's hurt. Second of all, when he's done being hurt, probably 3 or 4 weeks from now, he's the backup firmly. So,
Yeah, he's week to week, so it's like
yeah,
it's hard to keep him.
you could be out of playoff contention in your fantasy league before he's back on the field.
I will say he's not the best handcuff. That's Zach Charbonnet, but we'll move on.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, Jordan Mason technically was the best handcuff.
Sure. Yeah. I guess anyone in the Niners that gets that chance is the best handcuff.
Yeah, even Isaac Garrendo came in and looked fine.
Yep. Trey Sermon.
I think JT's back this week, so I'm gonna cut him.
And Tyler Goodson's kind of taken over that role last week over Sermon, who's
I
looked
mean, Sermon
way more
had
explosive.
19 carries and got 29 yards or something like that, or 16 carries for 29 yards.
Was it
Like
that
that's just
bunch?
bad. That's what we're used to seeing from Sermon. Like the big game the week before was an outlier. So I think he's
Well,
back down to what he usually does.
the big game the week before is a touchdown.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
why. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're
18 for 29. We for that 10 for 38. His
yeah.
yards per carry is
Terrible.
outrageous.
Terrible. So I
Yeah,
would say
cut.
he's a cuttable guy. Yeah, if you want to go play the safe money, you take a Goodson. But I think JT's back this week, so I think it's all moot.
Javonte Williams. He's been on here a few times. We've held him each time, but by a thread.
Literally by a thread. That's the best way to put it. Like, he just doesn't look good. And the Denver offense, I mean, it isn't knocking anybody's socks off anyways, but six carries. He did have six targets, I'll give him that. But like, six carries for 23 yards is putrid. He hasn't been over 13.6 points this year in a half PPR format. And that was, again, based on five catches. So realistic number, he should be flirting with 10 points barely. Yeah, I mean there are worse guys out there, right? But
Right. Like, if he's your worst bench guy, it's like, all right, you can toss him in a bye week and he can get you like
yeah,
eight or nine.
right.
That's the only thing.
And
Like, he's a
while you're
start.
hemorrhaging guys like in these bye weeks, when you have Dallas on bye, which has five starters you're playing every week, or some of these other teams that are just depleted from the bye week guys, I would maybe consider keeping him. But if you're again flat out expecting production, I don't know. I don't know that he's capable. Maybe you go
Yeah.
put him on your trade block. So you see if somebody in your league offers you.
Yeah. It's like the government teams, my bench is better than this guy.
Right.
Why I want that guy. I would probably cut him. I mean, in our TSF league, we can't because your team's so bad.
That's
But
yeah.
just a normal team, I think you have a lot better options out there. Like there's the Wandell Robinsons, Darnell Mooney's that you can pick up, and that's a way better bench guy than that, in my
And the flip side for him too is if you're thinking forward towards playoffs, he plays Cleveland. He has a bye week in week 14, and then he plays the Chargers, who are all not giving up a ton of rush yards. So,
And he just got crushed by the Chargers.
yeah, exactly. So I would say cut him. I think that's my take.
Alan Lazard. We can kind of talk about this in the next one.
Yeah,
I guess we'll
I'm
save
gonna
it
hold him
for
anyways,
the value, same.
but yeah, I mean, he's just catching touchdowns. We know that he's on the same page as Aaron Rodgers. I don't care who else is there. Alan Lazard has always carved out a role.
Yep, I agree.
And again, he's a flex play. He's not, you're not, if you own Alan Lazard, you didn't draft him as your wide receiver one, two, or three. He's flex or beyond.
You picked him up more
Right.
than likely.
Yep.
Right, moving on to buy low, sell high. I will start with my buy low, and that is Ladd McConkley, wide receiver for the Chargers. I think as of right now, it's kind of clear he's the wide receiver one there. Not that anyone's knocking off the doors. I know Quentin Johnson looked good the first 2 weeks, kind of, hasn't done great the last few, but the targets are there. I see Justin Herbert throwing for hopefully more than one touchdown pass in some games. I know his pass attempts have gone down from years past, but I just think I want to own the wide receiver one on almost any team, maybe not the Patriots, but probably get to that on the next segment. But I just think Ladd is definitely like a safe guy. I'm not sure he's gonna, give you those 20 point gains, but he should be, 10 to 15 points, maybe, a little less on a bad week, but you could probably get him. He's probably viewed as like a wide receiver four in fantasy right now. And I think with just more time with Herbert and being that security blanket for him, like we've seen, I think he's more of a wide receiver three. End of the season. So if you can get Ladd now for cheap, I would. And I think he would be cheap.
Yeah, I think whoever owns
Especially
him
off a
is
6.3
yeah.
point game.
Yeah, but I mean if he's seeing eight targets, like that there's value there. He's gonna he at some point he's gonna find the end zone, he'll have big games. And I think you're right. I think the perception of him is not this dominant player, but he's a better than average flex play. So I like that pick a lot. My buy low, I kind of touched on this earlier. Rashad White, I think you can get him for next to nothing. And I think he's still, for whatever reason, is the head of the Bucks backfield. And I know you've got Bucky Irving, who looks like he's contributing. And I know you've got Sean Tucker, who came out of nowhere and had a great game. And I know people are saying it's going to be a three-headed backfield back there. I really don't think that's the case. I think Rashad White and Bucky Irving go back to a near 50-50 split. Eventually, he will find the same lanes that these two guys are finding. For whatever reason, he's not finding them currently. But if you can go out and get him right now for next to nothing, and he gets back on track for what he did last year, or even remotely close to it, you're talking about getting, I mean, he's RB10 last year, I think. You can get a low expectation of him is you can get an RB2, a back end RB2 for nearly nothing right now. So I would happily go out and buy Rashad White in all formats.
Yeah, I mean, we saw what Tucker just did. So I think when White's back, it's White and Irving, and Tucker takes the back seat.
Right.
So if
And
Tucker can do that, Rashad can do that.
exactly. If the O-line's paving the holes, then Rashad White just has to run through them. And if Tucker can do it, then Rashad White should be able to.
Yep. Agree. My sell high is Najee Harris, coming off a 19.2-point game, 106 yards, touchdown. Looked great. He was my start of the week, which I didn't like to do it, but he did face the Raiders. And if you can't do that against the Raiders, then I don't know if you should be in the NFL. So I kind of said in my write-up that if there's a week that you're going to start him with confidence, it was week six. Now he's facing the Jets, then the Giants, then a bye. So two pretty good teams against the run. Tough playoff schedule. Philly, Baltimore, KC, all very good defenses against the run. And other than last week, he just hasn't looked good. It's kind of hard to win. And it's a reason why I don't really watch the Steelers, even though they're winning games, but just not a fun team to watch in my mind. So if you can trade Najee Harris off of that big game, if someone can value him maybe as an RB2 going forward, jump on that right away. I would swap Najee Harris for Rashad White. Like, that White owner needs a guy to play now and can't wait a week. Then here, take Harris. I can keep White on the bench for, 2 weeks. Boom, make it happen.
100%, 100 billion% correct. I also have a running back as my sell high, and I think probably a little bit different concept of sell high. It's almost like sell him before he has no value. Jordan Mason, we saw, burst on the scene, huge game, back to back, and then the last couple of weeks, I know he got dinged up last week, but last couple of weeks, hovering around the mid 8 point range. He's only got a couple weeks left, I think, before CMC's back. I know they haven't opened his practice window yet, but he's been doing individual drills on the sideline. He's got 2 weeks before the bye week, and then so that would be week 10. If they open it up and he has the bye week, he comes back week 10, and you still hold on to Jordan Mason, chances are you're not going to ever see value in him again beyond that. So depending on when your league trade deadline is, if that even exists, my goal would be to move Jordan Mason before that, get as much as you can out of him. Hopefully he has another big game this week. Maybe you can move him off that. But in any case, you're still pitching, the lead running back in San Francisco, who's looked very, very good through this point in the season. So I would sell him now, even if you miss out on a week or two of production. You also miss out on having to deal with a bye week issue if you can pick up another running back and maybe add in a wide receiver for to even out the trade value. Pick guys that already had their bye weeks and you'll be golden. Like, if you could somehow swing a trade for, like, you're sending away Jordan Mason and you're sending back, like, DeVonta Smith, who's coming off a kind of tough game. Well, I mean, he had the touchdown, but, not the home run game that AJ Brown had. I'd be thrilled for that. I don't know that somebody would do that, but if you could somehow make that happen, I'd be stoked.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point too. It's like if I'm trading, I'm kind of looking for the guys that already had a bye. Like I just traded for Travis Kelce in the league. Now I should be set and drop my backup tight end because if Kelce gets hurt, that's probably
Right, we're done anyways.
it. So it helps you clear some spots in your bench, to play the I got to pick this guy up now because in week 12, so and so has a bye. it's a quiet thing now until the big bye weeks come, and then it's kind of hard to do it. But yeah, if you can do it now, that's great, because it's just extra points each week that you don't have to pretty much forfeit, especially for these big name guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you could pull it off where you made enough trades that you never had to deal with bye
That would be
weeks,
amazing.
it's like that would be incredibly skillful, but
I should try that next year. It would
right?
go horrifically bad, but
Sorry, you end up giving so much value just to avoid
Yeah,
a
just to
bye
avoid the
week. You're like,
bye.
I lost that trade so badly.
Make playoffs. This team sucks.
This
Yeah,
team
but
sucks.
no buys.
But then no
Yeah,
buys.
but this team's horrible.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right, Dallas, take us out on this one.
Yeah, Shelfies, that'll do it for the news and updates from week 6. We are going to have another podcast coming your way, so go look for that ASAP, just going over a few more trades and some more deep dives on maybe some future potential movement in the NFL and how that'll affect your fantasy rosters. So stay tuned, stay on the lookout for that. And as always, stay fluid, stay loose.
Top Shelf Fantasy. Stay fluid. Stay loose.